So as we gather this evening for the commemoration of all the faithful departed, that's the official name of this day that we celebrate, commonly called the Feast of All Souls Day, but the commemoration of all the faithful departed, we bring to mind all those baptized who have died, and while in the friendship of God, we're not yet perfect. Yesterday we celebrated the Great Communion of Saints, all those men and women, all those souls who are now enjoying the full beatitude, the full friendship of God, those who are saints, whether they're recognized, canonized saints or not, everyone in heaven we celebrated with joy yesterday. And today, the Feast of Hope. Because everyone in purgatory will one day be enjoying the fullness of the friendship of God. But as the book of Revelation reminds us, that nothing unclean gets into heaven. And we know that there are effects of our sin, eternal effects and temporal effects. Mortal sin has an eternal effect of separating us from God the Father. And that's why if we die in that state, damnation is our end. We've chosen to separate ourselves from God. Venial sins and mortal sins as well have temporal effects, temporal punishments. And then not only does our sin affect our relationship with God the Father, but it affects our relationship with the church, with one another, and with creation, and with nature. And so those effects of our sins have to be paid off. You know, we don't have the perfect words to talk about these supernatural realities, so we use categories that we are kind of familiar with here on earth. But when we die, we face final judgment. It's either heaven or hell. I mean, we know this. And Jesus says, strive for the narrow gate. But if we die, again, in the friendship of God, but yet not perfect, we're still some attachment to this world, attachment to our way of life, our desires. If we had committed some sins in the past and there are still some remaining temporal punishment, temporal effects, then purgatory is that time, that moment, that space, that condition of purgation. You know, we don't know, the church doesn't speak so eloquently, so with such greatness on the topic of purgatory. She teaches us that it exists, and it's for those souls that are saved, and it's a time of purgation, of purification. St. John Paul II tells us it's not a place, it's a condition, it's a state. You know, and Pope Benedict helped us to understand it's the fire of the love of the Father, the flaming heart of Jesus, which burns us. So it's not a punishing fire of hell, to use that image. It's the purifying love. As yesterday we talked about the hope, this yearning, this desire that drives us forward. You know, as we desire to be completely with the one who loves us completely, we want to be made perfect. We want to be purified. So rather than seeing this purgatory as a suffering, there's joy associated with it. Because we know the one who loves us is calling us completely to himself. I mean, we have, you know, maybe some simple examples from our life here on earth. You know, we want to look our best, you know, when we go on that first date, or for the young man when he goes to ask the father's hand for his daughter so he can ask her to marry him, he wants to put on his best. He realizes that there's something important here that I need to give my best presentation. When we get that phone call and our friends say, I'm coming over, we tidy up the house. We have these simple experiences where we want things to be perfect, where we want things to be nice and to be clean. How much more so for us to be in the presence of the living God, the one who loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us, the one who held back nothing for us, held back nothing from us. Why would we not want to be perfect? So Pope Benedict said, it's a matter of justice. He said if purgatory wasn't a teaching of the church, we would create it ourselves. We would come up with it because it makes sense that I must be perfect to go face to face with the one who is perfect. And so this day of commemoration of all the faithful, we pray for all those souls who are awaiting that final purgation, who are in the midst of that final purgation. Because when we die at the final judgment, our will is set. We can no longer choose. Our choice has already been made. So we say that the souls in purgatory are not able to pray for themselves. You know, again, just to use the phrases and the categories that we're used to, if we imagine maybe at a judge, you know, that we have so much time, we use that terminology to talk about purgatory, so much time or so much whatever we have to just wait it out on our own. But the beautiful gift of the communion of saints, of the body of Christ, that we're all connected, we're all one, is that our prayers for them are efficacious. So they can't pray for themselves, but we can pray for them. And so it's a good practice to make friends with the souls in purgatory. It's a great act of mercy, a great act of charity, to help those who cannot help themselves. And it's a great, again, a great act of mercy to become friends with those souls in purgatory. Because God willing, we too will make it to heaven. And maybe we will have to be in purgatory. So when those souls that we've prayed for are in heaven, they can intercede on our behalf. I mean, they will be there welcoming us, cheering us on. These souls that we've never met, these people that we have no idea, but we pray for them, we will know them in heaven. And they will be so joy-filled to see us because it was us, our prayers, that assisted their journey. St. Paul said, hope does not disappoint. And so we are men and women. We're people of hope. And St. Paul says that we don't grieve like those with no hope. I mean, death is sad. Whenever we face the death of a loved one, there's a certain sadness, that separation that is that person's no longer here, we are sad. But we don't grieve as those with no hope. But we believe in the promise of eternal life. We believe that God supplies the graces we need to get there. And so there's a certain rejoicing. While there may be a time of purgation, there will be an eternity of joy. And so Mother Church calls us to pray today, every day for the repose of the souls, but specifically today. In these first 8 days of November, Mother Church opens up the treasury of grace and allows for a plenary indulgence, a complete and immediate removal of all temporal punishment for any sins that may have been committed that we can apply to a soul in purgatory. We do this by visiting a cemetery or columbarium and praying for the repose of the souls of the dead. The normal conditions for an indulgence, the confession and communion, no attachment at all to any sin, and to pray for the Holy Father's intention, which usually would mean an Our Father and a Hail Mary. And the confession and the communion can be completed within 20 days before or after. One confession can cover every day of the indulgence, so all 8 days. You have to receive communion for each time you want to earn the indulgence, to gain the indulgence, better not earn, to gain. but one confession will cover for all of them. So a great act of mercy Mother Church allows us. We have lots of cemeteries, lots of columbariums around. So find some time these first 8 days of this month to do this act of mercy, to pray for our Holy Father, and to pray for the souls in purgatory. And maybe you know someone who you think might be in purgatory. Offer that indulgence for them. Or you can give it to our Blessed Mother. She knows who needs it the most. Your prayers won't be wasted if you incorporate them into hers. So again, we gather this day. The best prayer ever for anyone is the sacrifice of the Holy Mass. And so we commend to the mercy of God all those, especially our family members who have gone before us, and tonight all the babies who have died. We commend them to the mercy of God. And may the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.